Thursday morning. My very dearest Master Jervy, Daddy Longlegs, Pendleton Smith, did you sleep last night? I didn't. Not a single wink. I was too amazed and excited and bewildered and happy. I don't believe I ever shall sleep again, or eat, either. But I hope you slept. You must, you know, because then you will get well faster and can come to me. Dear man, I can't bear to think how ill you've been, and all the time I never knew it. When the doctor came down yesterday to put me in the cab, he told me that for 3 days they gave you up. Oh, dearest, if that had happened, the light would have gone out of the world for me. I suppose that some day in the far future one of us must leave the other. But at least we shall have had our happiness, and there will be memories to live with. I meant to cheer you up, and instead I have to cheer myself, for in spite of being happier than I ever dreamed I could be, I'm also soberer. The fear that something may happen rests like a shadow on my heart. Always before, I could be frivolous and carefree and unconcerned, because I had nothing precious to lose. But now, I shall have a great, big worry all the rest of my life. Whenever you are away from me, I shall be thinking of all the automobiles that can run over you, or the signboards that can fall on your head, or the dreadful, squirmy germs that you may be swallowing. My peace of mind is gone forever. But anyway, I never cared much for just plain peace. Please get well. Fast, fast, fast. I want to have you close by where I can touch you and make sure you are tangible. Such a little half hour we had together. I'm afraid maybe I dreamed it. If I were only a member of your family, a very distant fourth cousin, then I could come and visit you every day and read aloud and plump up your pillow and smooth out those two little wrinkles in your forehead and make the corners of your mouth turn up in a nice, cheerful smile. But you are cheerful again, aren't you? You were yesterday before I left. The doctor said I must be a good nurse, that you looked 10 years younger. I hope that being in love doesn't make everyone 10 years younger. Will you still care for me, darling, if I turn out to be only 11? Yesterday was the most wonderful day that could ever happen. If I live to be 99, I shall never forget the tiniest detail. The girl that left Lock Willow at dawn was a very different person from the one who came back at night. Mrs. Semple called me at 4:30. I started wide awake in the darkness, and the first thought that popped into my head was, I am going to see Daddy Longlegs. I ate breakfast in the kitchen by candlelight, and then drove the 5 miles to the station through the most glorious October coloring. The sun came up on the way, and the swamp maples and dogwood glowed crimson and orange, and the stone walls and cornfields sparkled with hoar frost. The air was keen and clear and full of promise. I knew something was going to happen. All the way in the train, the rails kept singing, "You're going to see Daddy Longlegs." It made me feel secure. I had such faith in Daddy's ability to set things right. And I knew that somewhere another man, dearer than Daddy, was wanting to see me, and somehow I had a feeling that before the journey ended, I should meet him too. And you see? When I came to the house on Madison Avenue, it looked so big and brown and forbidding that I didn't dare go in, so I walked around the block to get up my courage. But I needn't have been a bit afraid. Your butler is such a nice, fatherly old man that he made me feel at home at once. "Is this Miss Abbott?" he said to me, and I said, "Yes," so I didn't have to ask for Mr. Smith after all. He told me to wait in the drawing room. It was a very somber, magnificent man's sort of room. I sat down on the edge of a big, upholstered chair and kept saying to myself, "I'm going to see Daddy Longlegs. I'm going to see Daddy Longlegs." Then presently the man came back and asked me please to step up to the library. I was so excited that really and truly my feet would hardly take me up. Outside the door, he turned and whispered, "He's been very ill, miss. This is the first day he's been allowed to sit up. You'll not stay long enough to excite him." I knew from the way he said it that he loved you, and I think he's an old dear. Then he knocked and said,
Miss Abbott,
and I went in, and the door closed behind me. It was so dim coming in from the brightly lighted hall that for a moment I could scarcely make out anything. Then I saw a big easy chair before the fire and a shining tea table with a smaller chair beside it, and I realized that a man was sitting in the big chair propped up by pillows with a rug over his knees. Before I could stop him, he rose, rather shakily, and steadied himself by the back of the chair and just looked at me without a word. And then, I saw it was you. But even with that, I didn't understand. I thought Daddy had had you come there to meet me for a surprise. Then you laughed and held out your hand and said, Dear little Judy, couldn't you guess that I was Daddy Longlegs? In an instant, it flashed over me. Oh, but I have been stupid. 100 little things might have told me if I had had any wits. I wouldn't make a very good detective, would I, Daddy? Jervy. What must I call you? Just plain Jervy sounds disrespectful, and I can't be disrespectful to you. It was a very sweet half hour before your doctor came and sent me away. I was so dazed when I got to the station that I almost took a train for St. Louis. And you were pretty dazed, too. You forgot to give me any tea. But we're both very, very happy, aren't we? I drove back to Lock Willow in the dark, but oh, how the stars were shining. And this morning I've been out with Colin visiting all the places that you and I went to together and remembering what you said and how you looked. The woods today are burnished bronze and the air is full of frost. It's climbing weather. I wish you were here to climb the hills with me. I am missing you dreadfully, Jervy dear, but it's a happy kind of missing. We'll be together soon. We belong to each other now, really and truly. No make-believe. Doesn't it seem queer for me to belong to someone at last? It seems very, very sweet. And I shall never let you be sorry for a single instant. Yours, forever and ever. Judy, P.S. This is the first love letter I ever wrote. Isn't it funny that I know how?